Praise be to God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. Ask me anything. I'm an open book. This phrase reflects an attitude usually reserved for close friends and family. It's an invitation offered as evidence of deep trust between two people. And it's an invitation that implies no area of the person's life is off limits. No thoughts are too private. No deeds too private to withhold. And it says to the hearer that the mask has been taken off, set aside, that the walls have been torn down, and the innermost corners of the heart lay exposed and unprotected. At least, that's what it's supposed to mean. But all too often, the open book of a person's life is greatly sifted and even censored. The deepest secrets redacted and removed from its pages. And the book then becomes an autobiography where the description of true self has been filtered through the lens of society's expectations to ensure that the darkest corners remain unexposed. Simply put, there are just things we don't talk to each other about. There are things about us that we simply don't want others to learn. And these things don't have to be evil by society's standards. They don't have to be about sexual immorality and theft and murder. No, they can be mundane by those same standards. Deceit, pride, foolishness. The world may laugh that these things fill the darkest corners of our hearts. But Jesus and His church, but for Jesus and His church, they all bear equal culpability. Now, in our gospel passage today, Jesus says, and He said, "What comes out of a person is what defiles him. For from within, out of the heart of man, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within, and they defile a person." See, He lists pride and foolishness alongside theft and murder. He doesn't differentiate them in any way because the point He's making is not about the degree of sin, but about the heart of the sinner. He's teaching that it is the heart of man that is corrupt, and out of it flows corruption. The blood that flows from it feeds these evil thoughts and these evil deeds. And as it flows out of the heart and through the body to the mind, which produces these thoughts, it flows also to the hands which perform the evil deeds. The body is defiled and poisoned. Make no mistake. This message of Jesus is a passage of condemnation. There's no excuse for what flows from our within. We can make no excuse for our thoughts and our actions. We have no solid ground in which to claim that the world made us do it, or that we had no other choice but to sin. And he tells us that evil may have been seeded in our hearts by the fallen world, but it has been nurtured and it has been raised by our own volition. And it may have been watered by the schemes and the lies of the devil, but he can take no claim over our mind and over our actions. And so it's no wonder that Paul writes that we must put on the whole armor of God. For what else do we have as protection than Jesus from these evil forces and even from ourselves? Lead us not into temptation. This is what he teaches us to pray. Protect us from ourselves and from the devil. Because left to our own desires, we choose flesh instead of Christ. But as John says in this gospel, God did not send his Son to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. The perfect, innocent blood of Jesus that was shed on the cross becomes our blood through baptism, and it flows through our hearts. Our minds, once desiring things of the flesh, now desire things of God. And our hands, once used for earthly gain, they're now used for God's glory. We're still sinners. We still have evil thoughts and evil desires. But we live in the knowledge of Christ's forgiveness. And we live with the desire to please him. Grafted into the body of Christ, we become members of a new nation, God's chosen people. We're added to his church, and we live a life pleasing to him. It's a life that produces fruit, the fruit of love, the fruit of joy, peace. It's a life that's characterized by love in service to one another. And we have many examples right here in our church. We have our prayer chain. We have our community lunches. We have outreach. These are just a few. You see, we intercede for each other through prayer. And we support and we encourage each other through works. And we do the same for the world. We pray for those of the world. Serve them. We shine the light of Jesus before all men. But back to the open book of your life. How are we to act as imitators of Christ? Well, Deuteronomy paints a picture from the world's point of view, a world that has rejected him. Keep them and do them, for that will be your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the peoples, who, when they hear all these statutes, will say, "Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people." For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? And what great nation is there that has statutes and rules so righteous as all this law that I set before you today? Keep the commands of God, this passage teaches. But it's more than adhering to God's law. Surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. Wise and understanding. That is what the world is to say about God's church. Wise and understanding. We are to see, they are to see us as we truly are. They are to know that we know that we are a sinful creature, but that through faith we cling to the promise of forgiveness and the hope of everlasting life. They are to see that we are a merciful body, slow to anger and abounding in love. That is how the world is to see us. And here within the community of saints, Christ's church, we are to be more open, more honest with each other. Matthew West is a contemporary Christian artist. And he has a song titled Truth Be Told. And in that song are the following lyrics. Lie number one, you're supposed to have it all together. And when they ask how you're doing, just smile and tell them, never better. Lie number two, everybody's life is perfect except yours. So keep your messes and your wounds and your secrets safe with you behind closed doors. And the second verse starts this way. There's a sign on the door that says, come as you are, but I doubt it. Because if we lived like that was true, every Sunday morning pew would be crowded. But didn't you say church should look more like a hospital? A safe place for the sick, the sinner, and the scared, and the prodigals, like me? See, within this community of saints, we should recognize that we live a life not of perfection, but of reconciliation. We live a life where we daily die to sin and rise to new life in Christ. And within this body of believers, we should not be afraid to lay open our book for each other to see, because we recognize that our sins of doubt and pride will be met with encouragement and forgiveness, and where the gospel of Christ will be the response from the lips of fellow believers. So my encouragement to you this morning is to open that book of your life. Open it for your brothers and your sisters in Christ to read. Recognize that the areas you want hidden are the ones that most need to be exposed so that you can hear the message of forgiveness. And offer each other unending grace and mercy as you begin to know, to really know each other. Please pray with me. Lord, we put on the whole armor of God that we may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil, but we recognize our contributions to our sinful thoughts and deeds. Remind us of our baptism and that we are forgiven, even as we continue to fall short of your expectations. Lord, we pray also for the wisdom to show love to each other as we all open the books of our lives. Guide us in our words that we may remind each other of your saving and forgiving grace. In your name we pray. Amen.